law has taken the character of a plunderer. Slavery is a violation, sanctioned by law, of the rights of the person. Protection is a violation, perpetrated by the law, upon the rights of property. And certainly it is very remarkable that, in the midst of so many other debates, this double legal scourge, the sorrowful inheritance of the old world, should be the only one which can, and perhaps will, cause the rupture of the Union. Indeed, a more astounding fact in the heart of society cannot be conceived than this, that law should have become an instrument of injustice. And if this fact occasions consequences so formidable to the United States, where there is but one exception, what must it be with us in Europe, where it is a principle, a system? Mr. Montalembert, adopting the thought of a famous proclamation of Mr. Carlier, said, "We must make war against socialism." And by socialism, according to the definition of Mr. Charles Dufin, he meant plunder. But what plunder did he mean? For there are two sorts, extra-legal and legal plunder. As to extra-legal plunder, such as theft or swindling, which is defined, foreseen, and punished by the penal code, I do not think it can be adorned by the name of socialism. It is not this that systematically threatens the foundations of society. Besides, the war against this kind of plunder has not waited for the signal of Mr. Montalembert or Mr. Carlier. It has gone on since the beginning of the world. France was carrying it on long before the Revolution of February, long before the appearance of socialism, with all the ceremonies of magistracy, police, gendarmerie, prisons, dungeons, and scaffolds. It is the law itself that is conducting this war, and it is to be wished, in my opinion, that the law should always maintain this attitude with respect to plunder. But this is not the case. The law sometimes takes its own part. Sometimes it accomplishes it with its own hands in order to save the parties benefited the shame, the danger, and the scruple. Sometimes it places all this ceremony of magistracy, police, gendarmerie, and prisons at the service of the plunderer, and treats the plundered party, when he defends himself, as the criminal. In a word, there is a legal plunder, and it is no doubt this that is meant by Mr. Montalembert. This plunder may be only an exceptional blemish in the legislation of a people, and in this case the best thing that can be done is, without so many speeches and lamentations, to do away with it as soon as possible, notwithstanding the clamors of interested parties. But how is it to be distinguished? Very easily. See whether the law takes from some persons that which belongs to them to give to others what does not belong to them. See whether the law performs for the profit of one citizen and to the injury of others. An act that this citizen cannot perform without committing a crime. Abolish this law without delay. It is not merely an iniquity, it is a fertile source of iniquities, for it invites reprisals. And if you do not take care, the exceptional case will extend, multiply, and become systematic. No doubt the party benefited will exclaim loudly. He will assert his acquired rights. He will say that the state is bound to protect and encourage his industry. He will plead that it is a good thing for the state to be enriched, that it may spend the more, and thus shower down salaries upon the poor workmen. Take care not to listen to this sophistry, for it is just by the systematizing of these arguments that legal plunder becomes systematized. And this is what has taken place. The delusion of the day is to enrich all classes at the expense of each other. It is to generalize plunder under pretense of organizing it.